Today is the 20th of June 2024, and I'm talking to Trevor Boyce this morning about his family and working life. Over to you.
My mother and father started in Christchurch. That's where they met. Then they moved to Wishaw, and they lived there for quite a while. Then they moved to Clive after that, and they had about 7-8 children, and two of them had accidents at school. One died of pneumonia, and the other one died of something else. Rennie, Phyllis, Betty, myself, Trevor. Clyde was killed in an accident after the Napier earthquake. That's when he was killed, and sent my mother around the bend. She ended up in Pararua. Got a hell of a shock. Then about 3 months later, Dad died. I was only about 13 or 14 then. I went to Manga Territory School for all my life. Passed on with Sam up to, I was 15. Then I went and worked at a bakehouse in Hastings, down by Stoffel Road, I forget the name of it. Then I went to another bakehouse up in Hastings. I just lived with my sister then, as Rennie, and then mucked around for a while. Then I was bike pushing down the road, and I used to go down to the sewer, so Clive was all the sewer, and then we used to catch kingfish and that there, snapper and that. Norm Cooper and I used to go in the evening catch snapper down there. And then I started at Tucker's. Then I worked at Tucker's then for 44 years. I started there. So I used to get a shilling a bale for those days. They used to put the oil into the tubs and fork it out of the tubs. Then on the top of a platform, and that was dry. Then a man would pick it up and drop it into the drum around. And then it would come out into the bottom of two trays of grain. Then Barney Kay, he was there. And John Futterer was doing the other side, feeding it in. They had an argument then because it was too heavy for him to lift up. He couldn't lift it up. And then the argument out. And then sometimes the hydro would break down. Jacob Key or somebody used to come and fix it up. And then I used to come home from school, and this chap used to bike down the road. I used to run with him. And he ended up at Tucker's looking after the boiler in those days. And he used to oil the machines and that. I used to get the shilling a bale. It was great. I'd pick it up and put it into the hopper, and I had to tear up top, cart it away. It had to go about 600 or 700 feet, I suppose, through past the hydro and through and down the back, fit into a big hole. My name's up there, Trevor Boyce from Barney Kay, still up there. Then they brought in a scow then, brought it in, put the hopper up the front, then a hydro, and then 1, 2, 3, 4 bowls, had 4 big drums handled, and every time I come through it punched the water out and dropped in. I did that for a long, long time, those two. Then I got transferred up to the top, the bum on the floor up top, and I didn't know much about anything in those days. I gradually learned a bit and a bit and a bit. Then I could class the wool in. You put some down this hole and some down this hole, at 3 different lots you had to do. Then I was there one day, and he came and took me out to a chap I knew at Mariah Totra, and I did my first lot of wool classing there. Well, this chap used to bike right with me. I did my first lot of wool classing there. It was all right, he said. Then he said, I got another job down at Rotary. He used to go to Waipara wool class there. So I did Waipara every year. Down there, it was a great place. They had 6 one side and 6 the other side, where you could shear the wool in those days.
Whereabouts is that?
Waipara, it's O'Markery. And then I used to live there, and I went to Peter Warren's at Pukerangi. Went there, and then I went to, went to Prongy House. There's one down there, and there's 2 who died now. Said, 2 brothers, Smith. Yeah. They used to class for him. They always got top of the wall. I did it for the one next door, and we actually beat them. You get sort of 48, 50s and 52s of quality, and mine was 54.6, the quality of mine, and they were 54.6s here. Was 2 points higher than theirs. And they were quite happy because I beat them by that 2% higher, you know. Yeah. They were wrapped at us, and they shouted beer for me then. Said that I worked there for a long time, those places. And after that, I mucked around at work for a long time. I've done 44 years, but when I got to 40, I got 8 weeks' holiday pay. After 40 years, they give me 8 weeks' holiday pay. And 2 months mucking around home is, you know, very funny, sitting around doing nothing more or less. And then I left when I was 60, then I had to retire. I'm just 94 and a half now, and it's been a long time now, but I've sort of finished that now. I've always finished that. I got a few miles together, and I bought a racing bike, and I used to grass track race to the half mile or 3 miles.
Was that at the Hastings Racecourse?
Mm, and I won quite a few races. Keith Atkins used to beat me sometimes. He beat me 3 times. He got first and I got second for a mile or 3 miles. We used to go to Napier and race there. We raced around the night. The tide was sinking in. I went out of the side and they cancelled it after that meeting. And then I went to Danny Virks for the Hawke's Bay Championship there. He started about 2 minutes apart. He had to go 12 and a half miles out and back. It's a night. Chap went off in front of me and I took off and got pretty high again. Before I got halfway, I passed him and got to the joker and he had to take the ticket off your hand and give it to him to prove that you'd got there. And then I turned around and come back and you come up the hill and onto the flat and you come over the railway lines and you come down around the big bend and you come towards the finish then. And as I was coming around the corner, the chap was yelling, "Go for it, go for it," he says, "you just about win this." So that's how I finished and I went in the tour and this coming in and he said, "You've just beaten me, you just beat me, my bloody about 2 bits," I said. It was unbelievable how you'd won. Then I said, I did a lot more bike riding. I raced around Mount Egmont. I hadn't done enough training, he said, but I got 7th and that, he said. They all just caught me coming up the last hill. I didn't realise you had to turn in. You had to finish your last 4 furlongs on the race course, he said. That was a fair bugger, he said, you know, after coming off the hard and coming onto grass like a race course. It was bloody terrible. I got there and I collapsed on the flat there for long. And then he said, I come to the 100 miles, the Hawke's Bay Championship. I had to go back to Dannyburg again. He said there was about 25-30 of us started off. And so I just tagged along for quite a while. And gradually a few got down and down. We got to 50 miles and it wasn't too bad. But you had to go around and down the hills and up and back, back and down and around. This. 4 times you had to go around this piece. And it got down to 2 of us left. Me and this chap from Dannyburg were coming up the last piece along by the aerodrome. I put a bit of pressure on it, he dropped back, but he sort of eased back and let him come up. We come up by the corner, a lot of wood places and that. You come around the corner and there's a big dam on over the side of the hill there. And you come down the hill, it's come up, I just put pressure on it, run away from it. I won that quite easy. The Hawke's Bay 100 mile championship. And there wasn't much to do after that and that sort of thing. I started fishing. I started off with a small boat and we used to actually spear flounders in those days with a set of prongs, big fork.
Whereabouts did you do that?
In the Narrowa River. There you could catch herrings and mullet. And then we started fishing from Clifton. I got a bigger boat and a bigger boat. And then we used to go out fishing. So we'd come around showtime, boxing days. And I'd hear them catching the grappers at Mahias, at Bull Rock there. And about a fortnight later, they'd come down the coast towards Waimea. And we would go out there to about 68 metres and catch them. And we'd catch 15 or 20 gropers and a few snapper and gurnet, quite a few gurnet. The next day we moved back a bit further towards, and we'd still catch the groper. And then we found Post Office Rock after that. One joker from Napier used to go out there and catch them. And my mate, he used to go down and catch them. Ross Mossman, he was a good fisherman, he'd go down there and catch them. We fished there for years, catching these groper and catch the odd kingfish. Yeah, so I got to 60, so then I retired. And I used to go down to the Herotonga Club and have 3 or 4 jugs of beer and bike home in those days. And I used to play a lot of snooker down there. And that, the 2 juggers would run the place. They were robbing the place gradually. The place went down and down and down. And Roger Spencer used to come to me, he says, "Can't you do something about it?" Says, "I was really going to get the microphone and do something about it." But eventually he said that broke up and these juggers were flogging the beer. And that sort of happened. And it got changed. The 3 clubs went together. High Burnings, the RSA and the Herotonga went together. And now it's called RSA now. Club. I've got Crook and my wife died and I haven't gone back there anymore. I'm at home, so sitting here in my own chair. My neighbour Malcolm Corn says, "I go over there at night time and sit there with them and they have a few beers and I sit there and watch them. Then I come home and cook tea, me and Stephen. They have a bit of bloody trouble. I do the spud, then I do the pumpkin and I've got to cut it in about 3 or 4 pieces. Then I get the scrapers that I do the spud with. I've got to scrape all the skin off the outside with that. That takes me about 5 minutes to do that. Then I chop it all up into bits, small pieces. That's about 15 to 20 bits. Then I do four spuds and I cut those up into bits and I put those two together and I put them in the pot and I put it under the tap and pour it in it and I tip it out and I put it in again and tipped it out again and then I fill it up with water and put it on the stove and I get the scraper, pull out the salt and I put 3/4 of that in there and then watch television. With Stephen, it comes to 5 o'clock, I go down and put the stove on, put the meat in the stove, and a kumar I'll cut in half, and I put that in the bottom, and I turn that on, and I go up and watch television again until 5:30, then I go down and turn that meat and the kumar over, then I put the tea on after that, and that's cooking, and I go up top, sitting there, and all of a sudden Stephen tears down, takes the lid off, and turns the stove back down about 2:30. I'm sitting there for a while, I look at him, I jump out and go down, I turn it back to 2, come back up and watch television again, 10:50, 5:50, so I go down and I stick the fork in and the spuds and the pumpkin are cooked. I open the stove and have a look and the meat's cooked, so I shut everything off and then I squash it all down, the pumpkin and the spuds, and then I get a spoon and I tip it in, 3/4 of the stuff, or you can put butter on it or something, and I do that, mist it all up, and then I get milk and put it on top of it, and mash that all up, then I dish it up, one this way, 3-4 of each side, then I just clean up the rest and drop it in the plane, then I pick the dish up and I take it over by the stove, open up the oven and I take out one meat and one kumar and put it on the plate, and I do the same for mine, and I grab one and I turn the light off and grab the other and go up to the table, and Stephen passed me on the way back. He said he's going down to get the Watties tomato sauce. He comes back and he pours the Watties tomato sauce all over his. And I sit there and I struggle to eat mine with my teeth. I bite and chew it away. And eventually we get that done. I'm finished sometimes by then. I'm waiting for Stephen to do his finish, he says. And then I pick the two up together and put the two bits of bone together, put that on the plate, and sometimes I'll grab it and take it down and put the sausage stuff into a little dish on the table, the little bag, and put all the rubbish in there. And I wash the two plates and knives and forks with that. And now we've got no power on the prison, so we've got to wash that. And it's all clean. And I take that out and leave the two dishes there. Then we've got to boil the kettle because our hot water cylinder's broken. The man must be here at 10 o'clock, but he hasn't arrived yet. We sort of get through that and we pour the hot water back into the tub and then we wash up the plates and knives and forks and put them away in the drawers. Then we go up and sit down and that's it. And I go to bed at night time. I lay there till 8 or 9 o'clock at night and I go to sleep.
Mr. Boyce, how long have you lived in this house?
Over 60 years.
Did you have it built or did you buy it?
We bought it. It's only half the size when we bought it.
Oh, okay. So just a little cottage and you've extended it.
20:07, I get up, then I get dressed. My pants are hanging down by my knees, and I'm on my knees by the bed. I've got to get up to get dressed, and that's the trouble. When I get hold of the end of the bed, I get up so hot, and I can't get up. I sit there for a while, and I struggle, and eventually I get round, and I get up, and that's all right. Then I go and turn the electric jug on, and then I open up the cupboard and get my plate out, put my plate on the table, and I open up the cupboard and get the Weet-Bix out, and I get 3 Weet-Bix out. Put them in the plate there, put sugar on it, then Malcolm next door puts the paper in there, he says. And so I sit there for a while and well, I haven't had my pills, I've got to go out there and get me 6 pills in the windows and put them here on the windowsill. And I get there and I got 5. We're hunting around and couldn't find this other one. I went out and shifted everything off the table, couldn't find it. I looked down and the mate says, what's down here? Every day I do the same sort of thing. Every morning I get up and have a Weet-Bix, a cup of tea, and go over next door, get the paper. I'm not allowed to drive anymore now. Can't pass my test, so I've got a little machine and I ride that now.
A mobility scooter?
Yeah, a mobility scooter, yeah. It's got forward and reverse, and I hop on that, go down the road. When there's no cars coming, I look and I cut across the road and I go right down to the shop and I've got to go across to the chemist shop to get me pills that I've got to go down today. So I've got to go further to get 2 lots of milk. I get 2 lots of milk for $6.50 from that place there.
So in the 60 years that you've lived here, has a lot changed down at the Mahora Shopping Centre?
Oh yeah, it has. Yeah. His father used to own the chemist shop before. I go and watch the cricket sometimes when he comes past and sees me sitting there, he's watching the cricket.
In Cornwall Park there?
Cornwall Park, yeah. On a Saturday afternoon, about 1 o'clock I go 1 to 3. You know, yeah. A lot of changes, you don't sort of realise, you know, 20, trying to think of everything that's happened, you know, in your life. I'm sort of back on a little mobile scooter now, and that does me now. I just ride up there and ride back, and if I go shopping, now I've got to wait for Stephen to take me everywhere. I can't drive now, that's my trouble, you know.
I used to see you going white baiting.
Oh yeah, I did miles of white baiting in those days.
Every season?
Oh, every. Did it when I was a young kid.
Make a bit of pocket money.
No, we used to eat it. I used to catch it at Christmas time. You catch white bait all the year round. You still can, you know. Unbelievable, you know, the life I've had and seeing everything. You know, I'd love to come back in 100 years' time and see what's happened, you know. Well, you would too, you know, to see what's happened in your life. It's unbelievable, the things that happen. But never mind, we've sort of got to the stage now. I started here with one dove up in the power pole there. And I used to talk to that. Eventually come down here. Then I got two, then I got three, then I got four here. One day out here, Phoenix, and there's five here. And Tom Mulligan next door, he counted six here. And I said, no, there's only five. This morning I had four sitting out here just before you came this morning.
Do they nest in the tree up there?
Oh, they'd sit up in the pole. No, they ran here in the tree.
Then on the power lines up there.
Stephen sits there and he says, oh, there's four up there. You know, the thing Stephen sees and I don't see is unbelievable. There's a Fijian tree around the corner. They sleep there most of the day. It's a shame this chap hasn't arrived yet. There's not much more sort of we can tell you now, really. You know, it's
covered.
Mm.
Anything about your school life that you wanted to talk about? What sort of activities and things did you get up to?
Oh, not much of that, really. No, we had that reunion at
Mangatiratiri?
Yeah, the Mangatiratiri. That was a 100-year one, and I was the oldest there. We went to the do that night. We were sitting there, and Mr. and Mrs. Robin come in and sat beside us, and this lady come in, didn't know who the hell she was. Or before that, I was over further, sat down. This woman come and said, don't want to sit there. The band plays bloody loud. So I moved over, I sat there, met the two Robins, Mr. and Mrs. Robin come in, they lived for Kawaparaki then. I knew the old man Robin. They built the stop back long past Tuckers in those days, because they had nothing there in those days. And then she came and sits there, we're talking good as gold. Then it got to 7:15, Stephen had to come and pick me up at 7:00. So I rushed out and saw this lady, do you want me to cut the bloody cake? And he says to her. And she shot into the dining room, brought the cake out, and give it to me, and I just got the thing and pulled it straight through the middle of it. The lady beside me and a man, I give it to them, and didn't wait for a bit of cake, and I went back and sat there in the chair. And it got to 7:00, and I went outside. This woman followed me out and sat there and pushed the door away, and that was good. Next day, we had to go to the church service. They're having a church service on a Sunday morning. So I got up and I go over to Malcolm's next door. We're sitting there, and I said, are you going to church service? He says, what bloody church service? Malcolm says, the church service is at the Mangatiratiri School. I said, what? He says, it's having that back there. I'm not going, Malcolm says. And I said, hell, I'm having that there. So I was going to meet this lady and see what, get friends or something. That happens. And so we never went there. That sort of finished that. It's, you know, it's really funny things that happen in your life. You can't sort of think much more of what's happened in the days. They used to push bike round the Cape. Those days and climb up the hill over the side and down.
Cape Kidnappers?
Yeah, Cape Kidnappers. We'd climb up the hill and the Gannis on the top there on the other side. We used to climb down the other side right down. Pretty steep. You'd go down and walk around at the corners and places and you had to wade yourself out. My brother used to put the pots in there. He used to pull off powers for bait in those days. Not allowed to now. And I'd get enough as I could carry, something I couldn't carry them all. So we'd have a little pot, we used to put them in there and the next day I'd go out. I used to go there bloody every day those days, getting crayfish. And he'd take it away and sell them. I'd just arrive and push bike around there. And great old days. And we're coming back one night, my brother and I, we'd been out just to the Black Reef and he had to wade up, go about that deep. We'd wade out to there and as the tide went down, there was some big holes, there was one, two, three holes there. And he'd catch not quite takeable ones in those days and some bigger ones. And we'd get 20 or 30 and he'd bring those home because when you got out there, you put your shoes back on, then you can walk out with no water. The tide had gone out. The one place in the Black Reef you had to bring your boat through was dangerous. You had to know where you were going, especially at night time. My brother came along and he drove the boat along and he went up on the top and landed on the Black Reef. His next wave took them off.
What was your brother's name?
Arthur Boyce. They got photos there of about 300 snapper stacked up on the beach and took two trucks from the Napier Fisheries to take them away. Kids were selling for 2 shillings and half a crown in those days. each, you know.
Was that a lot of money?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, I was getting a shilling, a bail from those days, you know, when you go back.
From Tucker's?
Yeah, 19.6 a week or something in those days, you know. When I left, I was getting, about 800 a week then. But you had to work in those days, you know, a lot different. So there's about not much more we can really tell you.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Mr. Boyce.
Yeah.